It's February 17th, 2023. It's a little after 1 in the afternoon. I have spent the last couple days kind of kicking something around, and before I move on, I wanted to capture a few quick notes about it. So the topic that I started with had to do with a tunable resonant cavity, and I was referring primarily to the individual that so it comes down, I guess, in really it comes down to, it's not that I know more than others, it's that I ignore less. And I think what I'm trying to approach there is, it's about resonance. Certain things resonate with me, and I'm more open to accepting and recognizing that resonance rather than rejecting it. And of course, that goes back to our power, individual power, about formulate, project, accept, reject, cast off. It's about the power of suggestion and the casting of spells and the casting of roles. So, kind of with that as the starting point about resonance, I was considering how, so conversion. It's conversion is really about tuning the resonant cavity. So, this kind of this sort of relates to the cascade, the conversion cascade, where if you convert and evolve in the process of being is becoming, if you evolve the principles and priorities that your life revolves around, there's a cascade event. So it begins in the abstract, as Jordan Peterson talks about, in the mythological landscape or the mythological realm. But it cascades down into the physical world, into our acts. It's we're on the stage and we're acting, and that those acts are guided by those principles and priorities. So fundamentally, that's where I started. It was about the tunable resonant cavity as that applies to an individual, how over time we can evolve in that process of awakening awareness, and thereby or there through an expanding consciousness, our principle, the principles and priorities, our standard of reference. So those standards of reference, those standards of references can evolve. And there's a cascade event down into the life that we lead. So, with that said, what I was so radiant reflector, I started thinking about the there's so many things that kind of that were interrelated or correlated in those few moments of really fathoming. One of the things I thought about with reference to the radiant reflector was, and as above, so below, I was thinking about the bridge function. So at the individual level, the bridge is between what's possible and what becomes probable. And I was kind of also, while I was thinking about that, I was also considering that it's sort of strange. Science physicists are really dealing with this, and they're trying to bridge the gap between the very large and the very small. And as I began to understand a little bit more about science, you know, there's the science of the very big. And so I just kind of remember, you know, Newton, gravitational forces, you think about at the big, you know, at the scale or when considering the scale of what is large, you know, I guess you kind of think about things like planets and solar systems and universe, but I guess what was a little surprising to me was that comes all the way down to us in our ordinary lives. This day-to-day world, this shared human experience, it's all of that is at that large scale, which I never really thought about it in that way. But the very small scale, you come down to the quantum, the quantum scale. And so scientists are trying to build a bridge in their knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, how these two are correlated. And when I was thinking about the bridge function as it, you know, relates to the individual, of course, that's our potential. And the, you know, we have our temperament, the template. And then based on that, we can grow and evolve and what's the word I'm looking for? Actualize some of that potential in the process of being as becoming. But then the bridge function, that was sort of the first, I think that was the way I've said it in the past, that was sort of the first aspect of the bridge function that I really wanted to share with others. That was the first one that really began to become clear to me. But then later, the complementary sense of the bridge function, which was consciousness built a bridge through the bridge function to exist in the materialized world. So materialized creative consciousness. And that was, I guess you could say, at the macro level, the very large, as opposed to the individual, the microcosm at the very small. And so, again, radiant reflector, what is, it's a reflection, it's a complementary I don't know really how to say that. It's a complementary form of existence. You know, so, you know, consciousness as pure potential, and then individuals as representing the possibility, if you know, of that pure potential becoming fully awakened in materialized form and as a proper soul, as a spirit or consciousness fully awakened, fully aware in a flesh and blood body. In our case, I'm open to the possibility that there may be other forms of living, I don't know how to say that, of embodiment of consciousness in other material forms. So I'm not going to limit it just to the human species. Okay, so with that said, again, I was considering the tunable resonant cavity, but I considered the individual as the microcosm of that. So what I was considering was, and this was the question, the quest that I had been on for at least a couple of days, what is the complementary form? And finally, it came to me that, well, the complementary form of the tunable resonant cavity is, in one sense, it's the universe, meaning it's about boundary conditions. That was the first thing that struck me. I've said previously that it's possible that, you know, when you consider the possibility of a multiverse, part of that possibility is the possibility of choosing or launching with different boundary conditions. It's all about the to promote, to allow and permit the emergence of life, most especially intelligent life, that would allow consciousness to become embodied. So that was, you know, that was one sense that I, that was one sense of that complementary existence, the complementary form, I should say, complementary form of a tunable resonant cavity. Again, it's Big Bang, boundary conditions, so that those would be the constants, the laws that govern that specific expression, creative expression, that in our case that we call the universe. But then there was something else that struck me, and I had done just a little bit of quick reading online, because I, way back when I was trying to explain the glimpse that I got, I talked about that the universe was a computer, and I had really no way of understanding how to express it. That was just the easiest way I thought at the time to try to share what I caught a glimpse of, what I became aware of. But now, all these decades later, they're beginning to, some speculative philosophers, some physicists are beginning to entertain the possibility, if not the likelihood, that the universe is a form of a quantum computer. So that was one of the ways that I thought about the tunable resonant cavity. It's meaning, yes, there's the boundary conditions at launch, but could the universe be tuned along the way, the constants? Or, and I kind of thought that was because of the risk involved, and the whole purpose, you know, conflict of forces, the whole purpose is between sustainability and extinction. It's between establishing constants that would allow or permit life, intelligent life, to emerge. So you wouldn't want to put that at risk. However, then I started thinking, well, perhaps the next threshold for human beings, just like we broke the sound barrier, what we thought was what we used to term the sound barrier, maybe the next barrier is the light barrier, or warp drive, slipstream drive. There's so many different ways that hyperdrive. There's so many different ways, especially in science fiction, this is referred to. But what I was thinking was, if the universe is a quantum computer, so radiant, that's the way I would view that, then reflector, so radiant reflector, So the complementary form of that would be us breaking through in our science to being able to create a working quantum computer. And if that was possible, is that what would enable us to create? It's so faster than light travel. So the thing that always struck me about that was I always saw it as a way to fold space up to where the traveling would represent sort of skipping across the peaks of the waves. But it's about cleaving, and that was the thing. It's about so somehow I equated the quantum computing at the microcosmic level, at our level of human existence, or in embodied existence. Somehow I saw that as a way it'd be like I come kind of think about the tunnel or what's the wormhole. It's sort of like creating a boundary condition where that space-time continuum, the fabric of space-time, would be cleaved by this very local sphere or field or bubble of quantum computed boundary conditions just for that vessel. And then it would cleave space-time, and then so that as it passed through, it would be as if it was never there. It reminds me of Jesse's poem. So it would cleave, and anyone in normal space that was being cleaved would not even be aware that this vessel was passing through or near their space-time. And then because it would cleave through, and then it would leave nothing in its wake. I know that's really scattered sort of thought, but this is what happens when you do thought experiments. So, anyway, I don't know if the two are related, that when we crack, quantum computing, that things will start to make sense to us on how there'll be, it could open up a world of energetic power source that's unknown to us now. And it could also open up the possibility of faster than light speed. And I don't even know if that faster than light speed is the way to describe that. I don't actually think it would be faster than light speed. It's that folding of space and then the unfurling of space in its wake. So the cleaving would be the folding up, and then the unfolding would be the way in the wake of this quantum jump drive, however you would call that. Anyway, that's enough for now. Signing off.